Well, today we finish our series called Cross-Examination. We have looked at the many different perspectives of what Christ accomplished on the cross through this Lenten season. And today we will look at the atonement theory called substitution. And I'm going to read to you from Luke. We're following on with the last part of the scriptures that we began reading with the children. It's Luke 19, 35 to 42. You can follow along in your bulletin. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when Jesus came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "And I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, Jesus wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So atonement is God's act. We learn more from this morning's scriptures that God has every detail cared for. God is in control, not revealing his entire plan until the right moment. So there is a colt there in place, and the man whose colt it belongs to gives it over without any argument noted. Jesus gets on an unbroken, untamed animal and rides into the city. I imagine the overwhelming peace found in the divine presence affects the colts and the crowds. For it says they are joyful. The crowds are joyful. When God enters into our lives, we receive peace, don't we? When God enters in, we gain that sense of peace and assurance. In God, we receive a divine affirmation that we are loved and cared for. That gives us peace and makes us part of the joyful crowd. So these crowds are clearly affected by this divine presence in their midst. Jesus weeps. Knowing the people in this holy place are not yet aware of God's way of offering reconciliation, of God's way and plan for salvation. Jesus is vague about the work that he is about to accomplish, saying, "If only you knew what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." And this comment made me think a lot about the scriptures from Isaiah that say, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways," said the Lord, right? Christ turns the way the world thinks, the way that we often think, and turns it upside down. We find that our very biggest problem turns into the biggest blessing with Jesus Christ. We find that realizing worldly success and hanging on to it can bring us to spiritual failure. We find that our faith, that is, any time we respond to the Holy Spirit and act on what is unknown, brings us face to face with the truth, that our faith brings us to truth. Christ accomplishes salvation, saves our life through dying on a cross. Think of it. And all of this upside down and turned over way of thinking is good news. The Apostle Paul records the Philippian hymn recalling the way that God moved in the atoning act on the cross. I'm reading from the second chapter in Philippians. Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. God became human and died a human death. The mindset of Christ was to take our place. The mindset of Christ was to be human and to take on what it means to serve like a slave, it says, giving us all we need to live. And through Christ, God humbled himself to death. He gave up everything for our sakes. God himself provided the sacrifice that we need to make. Now, for those of you who are watching March Madness, in basketball, this is called a substitution, right? You put the player in that can get the job done. God sent his son to get the job done. And this is not a New Testament idea. God intended this through Scripture. We read from Isaiah. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. So an old man showed up at the back door of an apartment building where Mark Tidd, who was a college student at the time, was living. And Mark and his friends noticed that the old man's eyes were kind of glassy and he had silver stubble all over his face. He clutched in his arm a wicker basket holding a few unappealing-looking vegetables. The old man said, "Good morning," and offered his produce for sale. Well, these students, of course, purchased his rotten vegetables, only wanting to get rid of him, to get him to leave their apartment in a hurry. Well, he returned the next week and introduced himself as Mr. Roth. And he was a man who lived in a shack not far down the road from the apartment building. So these young college men over time got close enough to realize that the reason his eyes looked so glassy were because his eyes were covered in cataracts. They noticed on subsequent visits that he would often wear mismatched shoes and torn clothing. But he would pull out his harmonica for them eventually. He got to know them and pull out his harmonica and he'd play a few gospel tunes and they began having conversations about religion and vegetables. On one visit, this old man exclaimed to them, "The Lord is so good to me. I came out of my shack this morning and I found a bag of shoes and clothing on my step. And the student said, "Oh, that's wonderful, Mr. Roth. We are happy for you." You know, Mark was so pleased that this man might find some relief. As college students, they didn't have much to offer him. And the old man said to them, "You know what's even more wonderful? Just yesterday, I met a family who can really use them." That's the mindset of Christ. That's the mindset of Christ. Fully aware of the way in which one is able to offer love to another, to take on any hardship so that others won't have to suffer. Have you had a taste of what it meant to suffer for the sake of another, to bring another to a new place in life? This is a choice. We so often misuse the phrase, "Oh, it's just my cross to bear," and make a complaint out of it. Christ died that we would have life and we would have it abundantly. And some of these unfortunate things that happen in our life are just that. They're just unfortunate things. When we come up against unfortunate things, we have a choice. I think taking up a cross to suffer for the sake of another is a voluntary act. It is a response to the love and grace of God that is flowing in your life. Now, throughout this Lenten season, as we have looked at atonement, I've mentioned to you that each way that we look at the cross can also be misunderstood. So I need you to hear this. Christ died for our sins. And this does not mean that we need to die for the sins of another. Remaining in an abusive relationship is not about suffering to bring another to life. Abusive relationships do not honor the work of Christ. Please do not tell anyone ever that they need to accept abuse, to suffer for the sake of Christ. The reality is that Christ hung on that cross so that we don't have to. And unfortunately, the church is a place where both the abused and the abuser tend to dwell. Christ atoned for these sins, yes, but he did not say they are acceptable. So suffering abuse is not an acceptable practice of faith. But now listen up, because here's the thing. When we love another person and are able to suffer so that they are cared for, so that they can move to a place of salvation, when we are willing to suffer for the sake of the truth of God's love, that little taste of suffering that we endure, the love that we offer another person, is but a teeny speck compared to the vast love of God. Vast, immeasurable love of God. You know what I'm talking about. God's love is so deep, it finds you when you are at the bottom. God's love is so wide, it finds you when you run away. God's love is so immeasurable that love reaches into every single moment of your life, and there is nothing you can do about it. Our response to this great love of God is love for others. And in so doing, we die to our sin. We turn over our lives. Today is the day that begins a holy week that gives us every opportunity to know that Christ died for our sakes. Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus Christ died for you? Not just a head knowledge, but in your heart. Another way to ask that question might be, does love and grace and mercy shape your every single day? Or do you hold grudges and try to control the actions of others or try to blame people and circumstances for your problems? Jesus Christ in the incarnation. Jesus Christ in the incarnation was both human and God. God himself became the substitute. He took on the punishment for our sin so that we could be freed, free to be shaped by love and mercy and forgiveness. And I invite you to take on the mindset of Christ as we move through this Holy Week and see if it brings you to a place of resurrection. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.